2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 8. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these He has given us very great and precious promises, so through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that this in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you remember last time I talked to you about and asked you a question, how many of you like this church? And how many of you love this church? And many of you raised your hands, and then I told you that it's not really about the building that I was talking to you about. I was talking to you about us being the church,
yes,
and this church being the embassy for God's kingdom. Well, this morning I have another question. This time I won't have you raise your hand because most of you are going to get this wrong. See, when I asked myself this question, I actually got it wrong myself too. But how many of you are members of the church? Well, see, if in your mind you're saying you're a member and you would raise your hand, I'm here to tell you that God doesn't want members. Instead, God wants disciples.
Yes.
Amen? In the 3 years that the Lord and Jesus was on this earth, all He was about is discipleship. And He picked 12 men. Very little is known about them. Probably some younger ones and some older ones. But He picked them because He had a purpose for them. Their story is not well known. They were irrelevant. Because really, it was all about God's ministry. And you are here this morning, and I pray and I hope that you will want to be His disciple as well, and not just a member at church. After last message, Fratele Braica said to me, "Dorina, I really want, and I pray that hopefully someday we'll have an outreach program here." And I said, yes. And I pray the same thing, and I know this church will have an outreach program. An outreach program is the one that you go out there and talk to the people. But you see, in order to have an outreach program, you also have to have a discipleship program. So it has to be combined. It's both together. A member, if you can go by this, by definition, I know it's hard to see, maybe just because I'm too far away, but by definition, is a person who belongs to a social group or an entity, such as a club, a company, or a nation. Meanwhile, discipleship is a student of Jesus Christ and a personal follower of Christ. You see, being a member, we can be members of the chess club, the Christian club, the soccer club, whatever club you want. But this morning, Jesus is calling us to belong to a different group of people, and that's to belong to Jesus Christ. And we are students of Christ's doctrine and a personal follower of Jesus. Now, what are the problems with being a member? Well, being a member, everyone in the club does the same thing, right? Everyone in the club agrees with each other, and everyone is in their comfort zone. Well, look at those three things. See the problem? That sounds like a lot of churches, right? And that's really where the problem is. So many times, especially in the Romanian community, we seem like we're going to a club. Well, your comfort zone is here, and I love this. I Googled it, you know, comfort zone, and this is what came out. This is where the magic happens. It's actually not here. This is wonderful. This is a blessing, and I'll talk about this, the purpose of the church, but it's out there where the magic happens. You see, if we read Matthew chapter 4, Jesus starts by calling His disciples, and He starts with Simon and Andrew, His first disciples, and He gets them away from the fisherman world, right? They're fishermen. They were in their comfort zone. That was the thing they were doing. They loved doing that, and Jesus said, you know what, leave all that behind you. Come after Me. And this morning, He's calling you, just the way he called Moses, Abraham, Jacob, David, Daniel. He's calling you today to leave your comfort zone. So first, to be a disciple is to get out of your comfort zone. John Steinbeck said, it's the nature of man as he grows older to protect against change, particularly change for the better. As we're preparing the discipleship course, I pray that we need to start with getting out of our comfort zone. If you're sitting there right now, and you're listening to me, and you're not paying attention, or you're thinking about something else, or your heart rate is not racing, then I'm either a lousy speaker, or you're in your comfort zone. Most likely it's a combination of both. So first, get out of your comfort zone, and second, we need to start maturing. You see, members of the church will make baby steps. They won't grow. By being disciples, you deepen your knowledge of God, and you walk like the man or woman that God wants you to be. 1999, 14 years ago, a group of leaders, church leaders, got together, and they made out this Eastbourne Consultation joint statement. Big words. Reality, they came up with the statement, and they said, we acknowledge that the state of the church is marked by growth without depth. Chuck Colson said the church is 3,000 miles wide and an inch deep. Well, you see, discipleship is actually about being transformed, and it's about depth, not necessarily about growth. So members sign an agreement while disciples actually get transformed. And I pray that that's what happens here. Discipleship is a process. Jesus had only very few sermons. Most of all, his teachings were out in the field. Today, we preach too much and do too little. Just last weekend, I spoke to my dad, and I was at this church Sunday morning, and this preacher was speaking. Everybody was looking at the walls, and everybody was tired and sad. And I was like, Dad, what is happening to that church? And my dad said, what do you want us to do, close the door to the church? And I said, yes. You know what? There's a word in Romanian, the pokeiești în sacși cenușe, right? That means you got to close the doors. You got to start going. The leaders need to go from the house to house to house and start reacquiring what it meant to be a disciple and start making disciples. And then go from location to location and acquire more people for God. You see, being a Christian means you practice it. Now, I graduated from medical school, and as soon as I got to the hospital, my attending doctor or the supervisor said, Doran, what do you think this is? In my mind, I was like, oh my God, it's appendix, it's gallbladder, it's liver, it's everything, because I acquired so much information. I knew everything, but I didn't know exactly what was the problem with that one person, because too much information can actually be dangerous. You're missing the point. So reality of it is that we need to start being practical. And we need to start practicing that in our daily life, but more as a church. This is what this message is this morning. I'm not talking to you personal. I'm talking about as a church. That's what we have to do. Before we go on to describe practically what disciples do, I want to describe what requirements we have to be a disciple. In John chapter 8, 31 through 32, it says, if you hold my teachings, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The requirements first is submission to God. Luke 14:27 talks about how you have to give yourself, you have to give everything to God. The 12 disciples did that. You see, a lot of people say, Lord, give me money and I will serve you. Give me a job and I will serve you. I remember people in Romania, my parents and myself. Lord, help me get to America and I will be your evangelist. But reality of it is that It's not like that. And the Lord is asking you, teenager, young person, old person, today He's asking you to decide and make the decision to serve Him today. The second requirement is commitment to find the lost sinner. You see, it's not just about going out there and talking to people. You have to choose who you're going to be talking to, the sinner, the lost sinner. Jesus didn't come in this world because He wanted to speak to the church. He actually went to the synagogue very, very few times. In fact, He talked about finding the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the wayward son. So we go to church 100% of the time. Instead, we really should be doing 20% of that and 80% finding the sinner. The next one is service to others. Well, it's all about everybody else, not about me or mine. It's about serving the people around us. In, right there, it says 10% of the church does 90% of the work. I think at New Life Romanian Church is a little bit better. And praise the Lord for that. But we have a long way to go to get 100% of people actually doing the work. And last one is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5:22 talks about what we call the icing on the cake. The disciple has to have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's going to be those things that are up there. Because of time consuming, and I know that we need to finish, I want to go over to a little bit more practical about what should we do. Discipleship starts where people are. I want you to think about that. It only starts where people are. So, online, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat. It's so interesting because politicians always on there, and you know, Republicans and Democrats write about these things. And I read something about Obama, and I looked up, and I wanted to comment, and I saw 5,000 other comments before me. And I'm like, what's the point? Who's going to read 5,001? You know? And I look at the Christian statements, and you see five people wrote something. So us young ones, we know how to write in English. We know how to talk to the people, our friends, our family, the ones that don't know Jesus. We can use that. My cousin passed away in Chicago last year, and his brother made a video about that and how the Lord talked to him that his brother is in heaven just through the Word of God. So that's the modalities that we want to use. Discipleship is rethinking praise and worship. So let's go out there with the youth night and have at the local park and bring a band together and start inviting our friends. Have English speakers talk about real life issues. And discipleship is ethnic. We have great food, right? Sarmale. We have great music. We have great speakers. Why don't we do that? I know this church has already done that before. Going at the park, closing the church down and go to the park. That's simple. We have to do that more. And last but not least, I recommend that you read a book by Richard Stearns. And that's called Unfinished. It's a really good book. And actually, after I started reading it, I realized my own evaluation of this was this. I should be in the medical mission field and not in corporate America. I should be investing my money in the ministry instead of stocks, money funds, and mutual funds. I should be raising my kids in the field and in Africa in the ministry field instead of the jungle of the American public education. Well, see, this is our calling, and I invite all of you to join me in that. It's not easy. Man, it's not easy making such a decision. But see, Satan tells us all the time, oh, Doreen, you know, it's not your calling to go there and do it. You know, you have a great job, you can support them to do that. No, it's not true. God is calling us to ourselves do it. Yes, you may not be an evangelist. Yes, you don't have to go abroad. But it may be as simple as going over across your neighbor and talking about to your neighbor. How many of us knows our neighbors? Most of us shy away because he's African-American or Chinese or a Jew. Whatever he is, you need to go walk across that street. I pray and hope that we will start soon our discipleship program. Amen.